in every distress. I call upon you, God. I know that you hear me. My cry comes before you.
of your goodness.
Speedify.
Everything you said to us, Lord, you
speedify.
Lord, all your dreams for our lives.
Speedify.
All of your goodness, Lord.
Speedify.
Every dream you've given us, Lord.
Speedify.
Every word you've given us, Lord. Hallelujah.
Speedify.
Father, the riches, Lord, the glory.
Speedify.
Father, your honor in this place, your glory.
Speedify, Father, too quickly in us the extraordinary workings of grace. Make us what you have eternally intended for us to be. We surrender our wills to you. Individually and corporately, that you may have your full way in our lives, because you tabernacle in us. Have your way, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is true, that God has a perfect will for our lives. But many times we are not in rhythm with Him. Because somewhere, somehow, we resist the Spirit of God. We quench the Spirit of God. In essence, grieve the Spirit of God. And that is not how it should be. The first time the word Sukkot or tent is used in Scripture, it's quite interesting. How many of you know that God blessed Jacob? Blessed him. His father blessed him, released into him the blessing. But he runs away. While he's running away, he comes to a place that he lays his head down on a rock to sleep. And while he's sleeping, he sees angels ascending and descending, in that order, ascending and descending. And he says, God is here and I do not know it. God is here and I do not know it. His father, Abraham, had been to that place, had named it Bethel. He comes and he names that place Bethel, and he continues on, and he comes to the place where Laban is. He gets married. You know the story well. He gets married to Leah and to Rachel. He wanted to marry Rachel, but he got tricked and gets Leah and Rachel. And he served for many years, for decades, under Laban. He finally breaks the coup. Takes off, didn't tell his father-in-law. The father-in-law pursues after him, And you know the whole story. And then he had an interesting encounter with an angel. He wrestled with the angel. And he said to the angel, "Bless me, or you don't go anywhere." Wait a minute, man. You've been blessed already. All the blessing. Your father told you all the blessing has been bestowed upon you already. There's no more. You got it all. What you need. You got it. But he says to the angel, "You got to bless me. You got to bless me. If you don't bless me, you're not going anywhere." So they have this fake wrestle thing. I call it a fake wrestle because how do you wrestle with an angel? When the angel really wanted to go, he just tapped him on his on his hip and it went out of joint. So you know this was a play wrestle for the angel. He gets a name change. His name is no longer Jacob, it's now Israel. God says, "You had a good fight. You made it, man." Okay. So now he leaves. And the Bible says in the book of Leviticus, Genesis 33. It says in the first verse, Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came with him, 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and to Rachel and to the handmaids, each one, because he had to relate looking for a boy, an extra that went through all this process. In the process, God has his 12 tribes. God causes all things to work together for what? For good. So they have their 12 tribes. And he puts the handmaidens in front, two of them. One handmaid for Leah, one handmaid for Rachel. They're ahead, and then the children that came out of the wives' womb goes third with Leah, and Rachel comes tagging at the end with Joseph. He's as afraid can be. He's scared. Who's he scared of? Esau. He's the blessed one, and he's unsure. And many times we have everything available to us, and we are unsure of ourselves. Esau, who had no blessing released on him, is doing very well. He is doing very well, like he's the blessed one, but he had nothing. And the one who had everything, scared. And the Bible says, he goes towards Esau, and he falls on his face, bows himself down 7 times. And Esau says to him, "What are all this stuff that I see out here, this cattle? Oh, that's my gift to you, my lord." Interesting. "My lord, that's my gift. You got to take it." Esau says, "I got more than enough. Keep your stuff. I don't need any of it. I'm blessed. I have it." "No, you got to take it." This was his posture to bribe his brother so that his brother doesn't wipe him out. He's the blessed one.
But it's looking at the one who is not blessed from a different perspective. I think that it paints the picture of believers and unbelievers. We are unsure of ourselves and what it is that we have. And we crawl and we beg and we do everything but stand up as the ones that know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God lives with me. God is on my side. Who are these? Oh, those are my children. These are my concubines and my wives, and this is what God has blessed, God has been gracious to me, he says. The handmaidens came, saluted Esau, everyone came according to their leading. So now, Esau says, let's go on. Let's go. He accepted his gift and says, let's go. And Jacob says, we've been traveling a while. You just go ahead of us because I don't want what I have to faint and die. So you go back and we'll come after you. We'll follow behind you. That was all good and nice. So Esau says, okay, I won't let my flock die, your flock die, just go. You come as you will. And the Bible then makes this remarkable statement. He says that Jacob followed, and he came to the place called Sukkot. That's the word for booths or the tent. This is the first time it is used. But this is a remarkable statement. The first time the word is used, it says, and Jacob journeyed to Sukkot and built him an house and made booths or Sukkots for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Sukkot. He built himself a house. I thought he was following Esau and he's going to come alongside with Esau. The man is still scared. He built himself a house and he puts the tent out there, Sukkot, for his cattle. He's going to leave Sukkot and he's going to come to a place that is now called Jerusalem. He's going to come there. He never goes, like he said, he was going to follow Esau. When it comes to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is the land of Canaan. And remember, it said he built a house and then tents. Now when he comes to the place which is going to be Jerusalem, he doesn't build a house. He builds a tent. Backwards. What is the Feast of Tabernacles about? The Feast of Tabernacles is addressing our sense of insecurity. And the reason God continues the feast is to remind us again and again, you must not be insecure. I am God. I am in you. I live in you. I am for you. And if I am for you, who can be against you? What can be against you? Mama read to us from Psalm 27 this morning. She shared with us the word of the Lord about The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I what? Fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God has not called us to fear. Yesterday we spent our time focused on the message about God saying, I will never forsake you. My people will never be ashamed. And God is speaking to us in this Sukkot. He's saying to us, son, understand, I am with you. I am for you. And because I am with you and I'm for you, I have built you a new body. I have destroyed the old body and a new body that I can live in, I now give to you. It is a righteous and truly holy body. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 14. Ephesians 3, beginning to read from verse 14. Paul is praying for the saints in Ephesus and the saints globally. Everyone who gets to read as we are reading that word today. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Remember, we all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Now, he's saying that God will grant to us the riches of his glory. And what is this supposed to do? To strengthen us. To be strengthened with might. Strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. You see, what died, what was destroyed, that which is called the old man, was your inner person. God destroyed that, and he gave you a new man, which is renewed in knowledge. We talked about that this morning. And Paul says, I'm praying that what you need for that inner man to be strengthened, be granted you. It's a grant. It's not something that you worked for, it's a grant. But as usual, grants need to be applied for. You need to apply for it. You need to ask for it. God, I want to be strengthened in my inner man. And God releases to you and I that the riches of his glory. That is the blessing of the Lord. That is the oneness that we have with the Most High. That when you are strengthened in your inner man, that Christ may dwell, may tabernacle, may abide in your hearts. How? By faith. My faith? No. His faith. Because I was crucified with him. Remember, we talked about that today. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the infallible faith, the uncompromised faith of the Son of God, who's loved me and given himself for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded, stabilized, in what? In love. See, the word of the Lord says in John 3:16, keep this verse up here. In John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Should not. Should not. Should not. Should not. He didn't say shall not. He said should not. Because the should is dependent on you and I, on how we relate with what we know. It is the people of God that know God that do exploits. People of God that do not know God cannot do any exploits. That I came to church, it's a good thing, gives me a better chance, but that does not make me any different from the person who's outside. It's not your church attendance that saves you. Your church attendance may show that you are saved because you love God, but it's not what saves you. The reality of life is this. God wants to come live in here. And the in here that he comes to live in is an in here that has been sanctified, separated, made holy, same word, separated unto God. And that which is separated unto God is separated unto God because that one comes to believe that God loves him. God loves me. And he loved me while I was yet a sinner. It was not when I became righteous that he loved me. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. And he came where I was and snatched me from the claws and the jaws of the evil one and translated me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, which is the kingdom of light. And he put his light inside of me and he turns that light on, and that light is his word inside of me, because he breathed into me, and his breath, which is his word, is his light, which is the water of life. And take note of that, the water of life. Amen? Don't forget that word. I'm going somewhere. But we need to be grounded, rooted in love. For what purpose, Lord? Verse 18. So that you will be able to comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth? What is the length? What is the depth? What is the height? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Lord, for what purpose? That ye might be filled with all the what? Fullness of God. So I get filled with all the fullness of God. How did that happen? I embrace the love of God. I accept the fact that God can strengthen me in my inner man. He fortifies me on the inside so I can handle the God of the universe on the inside. That's incredible. We have not, just think about it, the galaxy. You go outside and you look out and you see the stars. They are way out there. Every single one of them bigger than our Earth. Every single one of them. It's all out there. God gives us gravity so we can stay and not float away. and by gravitational forces keeps the stars, the moon, the sun at perfect alignment, not a degree closer, not a degree further, so that we don't burn up and so that we don't freeze up. Everything perfect. But that's just this, and we've not even explored our galaxy. And there are millions of other galaxies outside of this galaxy, all by the same one God. He created all of that, and he comes and he lives inside of you, and yet you and I are still very unsure of ourselves, that we are anything. The God who did not withhold his son from us, won't he also give to us every other thing? Praise the Lord. At least I'm paying attention. I know when I went off. Sometimes I'm just so into it, I keep on talking for a while. Oh, Lord. Do you think that when I understand a God, the God of the universe, lives inside of me, that I'm going to allow any words by any man or woman, boy or girl, government, devils, to tell me that I'm a nobody when God says I'm a somebody? I don't buy your lie, because I believe what he said, and that is settled already. So say whatever you want to say. I believe what he said. He says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I believe. I believe I am a saint. I don't have to die and some pope come and say, well, that guy was a very good guy. Let's sprinkle some holy water on him and now we'll say, you are a saint. Everybody call him a saint. No, that's not how it works. God calls me a saint. I agree with him. Whether you agree with him, go argue with him. But saints get to comprehend. Hallelujah. That's what it says to us in verse 18, isn't it? That you may be able to comprehend with all saints, meaning that you are a saint, but you've not comprehended. You're still unsure of yourself. But let me tell you how you can become sure of yourself. You have to understand that there is a breadth, a length, a depth, and a height. Depth and your height, that's going in the same direction. And God says, on you, maybe the height that people see is this much, but the depth that is inside is this much. But the depth you don't see from the outside. They only see the height. But I want to fill you totally until your depth and the height become exactly the same. Which means that your depth no longer exists, only the height. Is somebody listening yet? God wants to change me to make me more like him. So he says, don't be poured into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can prove that which is God's good, acceptable and perfect will. So God wants me to go through the process of metamorphosis, changing daily. How does that happen? He says, we looking dimly in the mirror have been changed into the same image. What image? The image of Jesus that you see. You see, because your soul man is like a chameleon. It changes to the environment that it's looking at. That's why people become like the world. And when they are with saints, they become more like saints. And you say, choose which side you're going to be. Jesus tells us how we can, through Paul, look unto the author and the finisher of your faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. My positive thinking is not what's going to change me. Faith. I've seen people who have lived a positive life, positive thinking, and I see the end of their life, and there was nothing left of it. Everything gone. Positive thinking. Faith is what stands still. When the storms of life come, you stand still because you've been strengthened in your inner man. Hallelujah. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It passeth knowledge. What does it mean, passeth knowledge? It passeth the knowledge of what you can define in the natural. And until you come to that place where you go beyond what you know in the natural to embrace that which is unnatural because it is spiritual. And you are born of the Spirit of God and therefore are able to operate with a spiritual discernment. You will always live your life without the fullness of God. Insecure, unsure, like Jacob. He had all the blessing, but he was insecure. We have all of God, and we are still insecure. That's the irony of it all. It means that we are not placing our faith in the one that we know blesses. It's not that Jacob did not know that God is a God who blessed him. He knew it. But when he faces natural situations, he flounders. I have faith. Until there's no money in the pocket and there's a bill coming. And, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Oh my God. Oh, we are finished. Oh, honey, we are broke. We are broke. We are finished. What are you talking about? You're talking based on your circumstance. The doctor said, I'm dead. But you're still talking. Spend the time that you are talking with, proclaiming the goodness of God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Say what God said. It's not that what they said is not true. Surely Esau is coming. And Esau definitely wants to kill you. But God has kept you far away from Esau for the longest time that now he's missing his brother. Elijah just wiped off the prophets of Baal and Asherah and Jezebel, who is a matron of those gods that he just wiped out, said, I'm going to kill you today. Within 24 hours, you're dead, man. You're dead. And a man of God, mighty man of God, takes off because of some woman that is threatening. The one that just saw fire come down. Takes off. He's whimpering and saying, God, they want to kill me. What have I done to these people? They want to... Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm the only one left. God says, excuse me. I got lots more people. Stop talking nonsense. The guys run for over a day, and he's still scared. The woman says, I'm going to kill you within a day. And now you've gone a day's journey, and you keep on going, and you're still alive, but you are still afraid. The word of Jezebel did not work. When are you going to stop running? When are you going to stop running from the issue that you think is going to bury you? You're still alive. Shake your leg. Raise your hand and say, hallelujah, I'm still alive. Praise the Lord. I'm still alive. I'm not dead. I live because he lives. Somebody shout hallelujah. That ye might be filled with all, not some, all the fullness of God. Wow. Praise the Lord. Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power? The power of the fullness of the Godhead. The power of his love. I believe that in this last of the last days that we are going to see the manifestation of God's glory like never before. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 23, I'm going to read through this as quickly as I can to make a particular point. I'm going to take it off from verse 34. Leviticus 23, starting to read from 34. It says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation. So the first day and the last day, the 7 days, but counting the first day to the last day, like we'll count Sunday to Sunday. Let's put it that way. 7 days, but it's really 8 days. You don't believe me? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You got it now? Now you believe? Okay. You'll bring an offering made of fire. It says, it is a solemn assembly. And ye shall do no servile work therein. These are holy Sabbaths unto the Lord. These are the feasts of the Lord. It's not a Jewish feast. This is a feast of the Lord. This is a celebration of the Lord. These are portal times when God comes to do particular things in our lives. During the feast days, that's when you should go, you should become extravagant with your giving unto the Lord. Because this is a time that God multiplies your seed sown. The most unwise thing you can do is not, especially during the feast days, not to give your best to the Lord. He says, these are the feasts of the Lord which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. That word convocations there is, well, it's like holy rehearsals. Okay? So if we had a drama team or whatever, we might do some rehearsals. Or if we have a singing group, we might do some rehearsals. And then there is the time when it's no longer a rehearsal. When you get dressed with everything that you need to get dressed with, you put on the image and the character of whatever it is that you want to represent. You get your voice, you know, during the rehearsals. Mama mi momo. But you don't mama mi momo, you know, when it's the time to display. You've gone past that. Instruments make noise at rehearsals. But the closer you get to the manifestation, you got to start playing the real sound. And the closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ coming, the more we should become more like him. But we must also recognize that the closer we come closer to him, the more intense the battle becomes. The enemy combats you and tries to derail you. But that's when you need to be affirmed inside of you and not be insecure, because you recognize that God is with you. Whether I live or die, it matters not. I live my life unto him. Those Hebrew boys said, we don't care. If God saves us, great. If he doesn't save us, we're still not going to worship your idol. You've got to be sure, or you compromise yourself. You compromise your life and make decisions based on what the world says and not what God says. Whether it makes sense to anybody else, I'm going to do what God said for me to do. That make sense? I will outlast the devil and his cohorts. Praise God. He says, this is a holy convocation. Yes, there are rehearsals, but there is going to be showtime. To offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. A burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offerings, everything upon his. What did he say? His day. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord had made. Okay, guess what? This is the day. Is the day of tabernacle. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Because God has come to tabernacle with men. And as long as I know that God has come to tabernacle with me, I am going to celebrate every day. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which you give unto the Lord. You notice all of that? All have to do with giving. Why does it have to do with giving? Because when you're a giver, you are declaring that you are secure. People that don't know that they are secure in the goodness of God cannot give because they think, I am getting less and less. But when you know that you are secure in God, you don't deal with God based on what you have on the outside. You go all in. Amen? Some of my best giving times in the Lord was when, were the times when I'm looking at the account and it is shrinking. And the devil says, are you going to keep on giving? And I say, what interest of yours is that? I'm going to empty the account now. I'm going to give to the Lord. And you know, I'm still here. Hallelujah. I'm still here. The proclamations of the devil did not come to pass. But the promises of God, which are yes and in him, amen, keep on moving me on. It's not because my bank account got filled, but because God is my source, my provider, my peace, my shalom. I find my security in him. Amen? That did not just happen. That happened because of saying, God, you're the one alive, I'm dead. So God, live your life. Amen? Hallelujah. And when I try to wake up from the dead and try to wrestle the will from the Lord says, what are you trying to do? I say, okay, I'm dead again. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, because that old man wants to wake up. Praise the Lord. When somebody's cut you off on the road, the old man just wants to wake up. What happened? And wants to say something. That's why you say, shut up, old man. Go back. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me wrap up. I'm not going to finish that. I've never finished the message. I don't think ever. So we just continue. It goes on and says in the 40th verse, verse 40, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees. This is the building of the tabernacle now, or the tents, the Sukkot. Branches of palm trees and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And ye shall what? Ye shall what? Remember, this is the day. And I'll rejoice. Now that's where it is. Ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days or completely. Amen? 41. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute for how long? Forever. In your generations, ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. That your generations may know that I made, that I what? Made. I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. I made you dwell in booths for 7 days. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt,
I am the Lord your God. Interesting. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. I made you dwell. Why? Someone asked me, why? Now that you asked the question, I'll give you the answer. Notice all that he said to them for them to carry, to build those booths. There's a million plus people, and they're going to get palm trees, palm leaves. They're going to get trees, and they are in the wilderness. And they're going to build these booths. They're going to come out of their tents, which was their house, and build booths. Why am I leaving my house? Temporary as it might mean, to build booths and kill all this vegetation, cut all these leaves and build all of this and be outside in the cold. What is the point? And the point is this. When you're outside there and you see the stars, you see the sun, you see the moon, the elements, and at night you see those stars out there, I want you to remember this. I made your father Abraham a promise. I'm going to bless him like the stars. When you lay on this sand over here, I want you to remember, I promise I'm going to bless like the sand on the seashore. I want you to come out of what you have built and you feel secure about, to come out and understand that I have something greater. I want you to look up and see I'm a God of promise. I made you a promise. I will keep every word. Nothing is going to be left. So at this time of tabernacles, this is the time that we look up to God and trust Him. At the time, the season, this last feast, Yom Kippur to tabernacles, this is the time that most troubles happen in our world. Go back through your history. Because this is that time that the devil knows that any time between from Rosh Hashanah to the Feast of Tabernacles, Rosh Hashanah being the trumpet, the last blast to the Feast of Tabernacles. During this period, that's when Jesus might show up. And if you study history, you'll find out that 2 to 3 months before the feast comes, it's like all hell breaks loose on the planet. Everything is attack, 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 attack. Just steady. What is the enemy trying to do? Dislodge as many people as he can dislodge that will come to his imprisonment. But the people that know their God brace themselves and recognize that if God be for me, nothing can be against me. In John 7, I'll do this and we'll wrap up by the leading of the Spirit. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7,
He says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Guess what? Heading towards the feast, they want to kill him. His brethren come unto him. He says to them, depart hence and go into Judea. His brother said, you go to Judea. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, you go. Go show them what you are capable of, so that they will see the works that thou doest. Go to Judea. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do this thing, show thyself to the world, he said to Jesus. Why? For neither did his brethren believe in him. They didn't believe in him. This is his own brothers, flesh and blood. They didn't believe in him. You're just telling us stories. We don't believe anything that you're saying. We know you. You eat some more with us. We know you like Hawaiian pizza, just like us. Fettuccine Alfredo. We ate it with you. We ate, you know, pita bread with you and tilapia fish. I saw you go use the washroom. Come here and telling me that you're doing all these miracles. They didn't believe him. Jesus says to them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. That is a powerful verse. That's a powerful verse. See, your time is always ready. You have access at all times. But me, they want to kill me. So I'm going to stay here. You go. So they left. And after they left, Jesus comes to the feast. He's there, he's chatting with people, he's teaching, and people are arguing, they're unsure of him. They're saying, we're not sure about you. Because the whole idea of tabernacles is to address the issue of insecurity, see? They're trying to make Jesus feel insecure. You're not the real deal. And some say, no, he's got to be the real deal. And then the Pharisees come and say, hey, to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus says, let the guy alone. They said, are you one of them now? Haven't you read that no prophet comes out of Galilee? Because all they saw was the outside. He was in Galilee. But they did not know that when he was born in Bethlehem. Are you with me so far? People judge you based on their limited knowledge. What you must do is not allow people to judge you based on their limited knowledge. But your judgment must be about what God sees about you. Now, on the last day, which is today, Jesus stands up. He's not afraid of them. Because if he were afraid of them, he wouldn't come to the feast and start talking. But on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
If I believe in him, out of my belly is going to flow rivers of living water. Yeah.
And that's a proclamation of God to every one of us.
When I mentioned to us about all the things that they used to build the tabernacle, you've got to understand the land that we're talking about. This was the wilderness. For them to have what they needed to build, what they needed to build, was the provision of God's miraculous power. Because that was not in the turf. God was asking them to do something that in the natural they couldn't see. But if they believed in obedience that they were going to do what God said for them to do, they were going to see trees. They were going to see palm trees. It was so arid that when they left Marah, they came to a place where they had 70 palm trees. God had to mention that there were 70 palm trees. An oasis, because that was not normal. Nothing God asks you to do is normal. The God who says, I want you to sacrifice animals, from where? The animals that we've been eating. How are we going to be able to sacrifice animals? Because God makes provision. His word says he gives seed to the sower. It is not what you think you've got. It is what God makes provision for. Hallelujah. He says, if you repent, he says, just maybe I might leave you meat offerings. Is that what he said? I'm going to leave you an offering. Huh? You will leave me an offering for what? So you have something to offer. Hallelujah. God says, out of your belly, there's rivers of living water. Guess what the living water is all about? It's about the Holy Spirit that is going to be released. But the living waters are the waters that come out of the throne of God. Why? Because he's seated in the throne of my heart. And where his throne is, living water flows out. And when that living water flows out, trees begin to produce fruit every month of different kinds. That is the realm of the miraculous. Tabernacle brings me back to a place where I find my security in God, in knowing that he's my source, my provider, my peace, my everything. He said, he was speaking about the Holy Spirit that was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But now we know that he is glorified. Now we can allow the Spirit of God to do God's work and bring healing. He says, the waters that come out of this throne shall come, and they will purge the waters, dead waters. And where there was no fish, where there was no marine life,
everything changes. Somebody say, change is definitely happening for me, in my life, for my good, and for His glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God for His word every year to us. He is the unchanging changer, the God who has eternally transformed our lives. And in His name, we are made every whit whole. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Your giving is of utmost importance to God. Why? Because God wants to give to me. He wants to make sure that I am not empty-handed. This is the feast of the Lord. These are the feasts where God comes at particular times. And He watches more than any time what it is. This is the time of your vows. Yes, you can make vows at all other times, but during the feast, those are perfect times to make vows to God. God, I'm going to do this. I'm believing You for this. And as an expression of thanksgiving, here is what I give unto You. It's that time. I spend the time by the leading of the Holy Spirit to teach the Word of God. And I pray that when we hear the Word of the Lord, that we see it and discern it to be so for our good. I don't say anything to you that I am not doing. I don't talk to you about giving and not give. Because I know that God ministers to my need better than I can. We're on television every day. How many of you know that? Do you think I pay the same thing like every other person who's on television nationwide? Nah, I don't. If somebody tries to, oh, Pastor Zeno is on television every day. I'm going to go on television every day. They'll find out how broke they will get because they're trying to do something without having the base to do it. But the starting point for every one of us is to have the character of God. God is a giver. And if He lives inside of me, I must be a giver. Amen? That's it. It's the bottom line. So I trust God to help every one of us. Nobody's trying to get something from you. Just trusting God to help every one of us come to our rightful place where we lack nothing. And we are looking for ways to give. It's ways, another opportunity. Because there's not room enough to keep it.
That's what I want for my life. What about you? Hallelujah. All for souls, all for the kingdom of God. Rise with me. The one prayer I believe that I need to pray with you tonight is the prayer of finding ourselves secure in God. That the sense of insecurity be wiped off from our lives so that we are courageous and we are bold. Children of God are bold like the lion. Hallelujah. Bold, strong. Lift your hands before the Lord. Say with me, Father, I declare your declaration. Out of my belly flows rivers of living water, because I have your Spirit in me, the fullness of the Godhead in me. I am strengthened in my inner man. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I rejoice, O God, that I belong to you. My life is transformed. My mind is renewed. I am empowered to succeed. I am more than a conqueror, because greater are you, O Lord, in me than he that's in the world. I surrender my life. I look up to the heavens, and I see the stars. I see the galaxies, and I'm certainly assured that you, God, will bless me with the Abrahamic blessings. And when I look down and I see the sand, I see your word manifested, the word of blessing, the Abrahamic blessing is operating in my life. So whether I look down or I look up or I look around, I see the blessings that you promised Abraham. When Lot left him, you said, look all around you. You see it? I have blessed you with all of this. So, Father, whether I look up, look down, look to the side, to the left, to the right, in front or behind, all I see is the blessing. I am blessed because, Father, you have tabernacled with me. You live in me, and I am more than a conqueror, triumphant always, in Jesus' mighty name. 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 Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm so thankful that you came to be in the house of the Lord today. May you be strengthened in your inner man, and may you live fulfilled. Amen? Our next gathering, of course, is going to be Wednesday for Bible study. And then there's Friday, and then there's Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Amen? All of those times, do not neglect the assembling together. God is putting us together for his glory. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well,